Same night.
It's not starting off. I'm starting off.
I've been called worse than note.
It's being stand noted.
You were not your age.
Colin Creighton had a good story about me over the weekend, didn't he?
He had a brilliant story.
Nearly as good as the one about my first job in Dunn Stores when they gave me a name tag with my initial and my surname on it, which read Snot. That's a true story, 6 weeks begging them to change their policy. Anyway, I'm going to read two poems. The first one's really short, the second one is relatively short. The first one is my own. It was written with a prompt. It's actually turned into a... I'm not writing the song, somebody else is writing the song. They've taken the bits that three or four of us wrote and combined them. So the prompt was just simply Mosaic Boy. That's the title of the song. Pieces of pieces fall into me. They stick to my spine, create unique, crooked lines. They swirl on my skin, make thick what was thin. They tessellate, triangulate, circle and square. Everything and anything is welcome here. For I am the Mosaic Boy, and I can paint your pain. I am the Mosaic Boy, I can take the blame. So give me your guilt, give me your rage, give me your losses and give me your shame. For I am the Mosaic Boy, and I can paint your pain. Yes, I am the Mosaic Boy, I will take the blame. So I was at something recently, a poetry reading, and the guest poet said that he's developed a habit of reading a poem by somebody else as part of a set, a kind of a cover thing, which I thought was a lovely idea. So this is one of my favourite poems ever. It's written by a guy called Chris Redmond, who also goes under the name of the Ventriloquist and runs a poetry, slam poetry night in London, which is called The Dojo. It describes a venue after a gig, which is probably why it appeals to me. It's called Stickers and Mic Stands. Stickers and mic stands, boxes of flyers, needles on records, tangles of wires, speakers to the ceilings, lights down low, something in the air makes me feel the flow, because this is what I know. I feel at home here, comfy chairs and sofas, the smell of old beer, sitting in a corner, listening to the night sounds on the stage make me grab a pen and write, take flight on sonic thermals, wings under my wings. I love the people who love listening to things, people who sing, people who speak, people who play just to get through the week. I seek them, and I seek these places, because even when they are empty, you can still hear traces of tunes that were played the night before. Fragments of sound litter the floor, they inhabit cigarette butts and discarded flyers. Each one holds a secret of last night's desires. Like smouldering fires, if you fan the flames, you find a thousand songs with a thousand names.
Sketchbook, that's why I wore the beret. So, through the eyes of an artist, and the artist is Degas, and he loved to paint and draw movement, muscle movement, so there'd be horses and the ballet dancers. You're probably familiar with some of his work. But his eyesight started to fail, so he turned to sculpture. But one thing, he was never satisfied with his paintings. He would sell them and he'd buy them back and change them and then sell them again. And I sometimes think I wish we could do that with a poem, but once it's in print, you can't do that. Debussy's got in here somewhere, and there's a song title, a composition of his. It's in French, Stan, so I'll test you on it after.
Okay, no problem.
Through the eyes of an artist. December, and one hand lifts the windswept air from houseman rooftops, and Henry Moore's reclining nude, an acquisition in bronze. The other hand measures perspective, and dépasse la neige, footprints in the snow, before rolling oil pastels between thumb and forefinger, the same way as gitans. Degas tells us about the art of painting, how to search for lost colour and hue in the shadows, elusive to all but the discerning eye. How shafts of light softly fall into the chiffon skirt of a dancer, her limbs outstretched like a statue of a Hindu god, time curving her spine to wounded satin feet. How, at Rue de Laval, a mirror leans into an arabesque. A double bass lies layered with dust, cerise, mauve and lemon. And how he performs a pas de deux with illusion and reality. His studio rancorous with failing sight, solitude rehearsing in the wings. Poised next to a Delacroix, an aspiring La Petite Danseuse, where at Palais Garnier, pouring hot wax, he sculpts movement. Coquettish pink limbs, lighter than air, flirt with frozen whitewashed walls and the avant-garde. In the corner of the room, a violin is waiting to be tuned, next to an unfinished canvas. Spring grows with the scent of the first orange blossoms, but until then, winter presses silhouettes against window panes, as unyielding and potent as undiluted red wine before snow. At Musée de l'Orangerie, the ghost of October's black piano still lingers, the wind and Debussy fading with the fraying petals of a water lily.
Thanks, Linda. Next up is Mary O'Connell.
French idiom seems to be in there. This is called Now I Know, but it has an epigraph by Alphonse de Lamartine, and it's Un seul être vous manque et tout est dépeuplé, which is one person is missing and the world is depopulated. I thought I'd be transformed in this hidden place of peace, that the carapace I hide behind would gently fall away, leaving a creature smitten by the stillness of the lake. The softness that I seek is out of reach. I hear birds welcoming the day, walk down winding paths, watch clouds like fraying strands of wool push through the quivering air, and stay dispassionate and cold. Bewildered by my pitiful response, I wonder what I lack. Remember then that time in France, we walked through stubble fields, uninteresting and flat, yet found enchantment there in every step. Thrown into new surroundings, I learn again the lesson of your loss. By your side, the dullest landscape flares alive. Without you, beauty fills me with unease. Eyes may look, but it's the heart that sees.
Hi, I'm Bo Williams, and last month I won the All-Ireland Poetry Slam Championship, so I get to represent Ireland next year at the European Poetry Slam. So, I'm very happy to be here. I really like this place. my bookshelf, David Sedaris and Jon Snow kiss in a whirlwind of ice pebbles on a wall above the world. Bukowski throws pencils at Ayn Rand. She fashions them into a cigar box, sets it on his desk. He sets it on fire. They do this every Saturday. Webster used to think he was better than everyone until he choked on dust. Abe Lincoln washes Carrie Radzinski's feet in the Mississippi. Everybody used to pick on Stephen. He used to hide behind his typewriter dressed in all black, and now his kingdom takes up half a tier. Christopher Moore likes to fill condoms with water, hang from the top shelf, and drop them on Saul Williams. Saul gets upset. Christopher feels horrible, then fills more balloons. Robbie Q's plants died today. George Orwell told him it was going to happen. Eckhart Tolle, Jesus, and John Krakauer smoke behind a dimly lit poker table. John's eyes are glassed over. He folds a flush. Tolle accidentally inhales his cigar smoke, hacks his voice hoarse, and lays down three jacks. Jesus sets a tab of acid on his tongue, laughs a hysterical one, and throws his Pokemon cards into the air. Anthony Bourdain wants to debone Douglas Adams. After the kitchen closes, they drain the whiskey shelf, ultimately laugh every demon from the bottle. Rick McIntyre's mouth fills with sand when Sylvia's ghost walks by. She kisses his author photo every night before bed. Hermione and Holden Caulfield made love under every page of summer, smudged the ink with their bodies, slept each night under the heaviest cover. Their love was a stolen flying car, a body who finds a lover in the rye when he held her. All the hidden rooms unlock. Her eyes were an opened chamber of secrets. On the last page before autumn, she kisses him unimaginably, tucks him tight into a book jacket. In a far-off somewhere, a red-headed boy writes her name in the air with a broken stick. Caulfield wakes up with a paper cut, his own heart heavy and useless, a fencing bag forgotten at the subway, something someone else needs, something he could live without. Thank you.
Is Elisa. Oh. Hi. I wasn't gonna read, but it's my 1 year of Yale anniversary. So
yay! I'm
gonna read something that I'm doing now. It's okay anyway, because I like to play. I stick my fingers into cakes, and I'm always entertained. It's okay anyway, other things make my day, and I don't have much to say. It's okay anyway, I forget and change my mind every day. And tonight I can hear the love humming of the world. I've already exceeded my stay, and I don't need you to say my name.
Thanks, Elisa. And Platon?
Shot through my mind, and I think I should mention, because no one gets the title, it's from Last Shadow Puppet song, where he goes, isn't it boring when I talk about visions of the past and possible futures shoot through my mind and I can't let go. So this is that. One. In this one you're still asleep, and I'm whispering all the things I think I will never be able to tell you when you're listening. I stroke your hair and wonder if you're dreaming, wonder if you ever need me in there. You're wearing one of my black shirts and you seem calm, breathing like one who belongs. It's another bright winter day, the light from the window making its way to your face. We'll soon get dressed and walk the forest underneath the city. I'll take a photograph of your ankles while you hold my hat. You'll say it's no good, and I'll say I know it's no good, and you'll buy me coffee at the corner store and tell me I'm walking too fast. But now you're still asleep, and don't know that before all that happens, I'll have whispered all my secrets to you. Two. In this one, you're getting married. I'm wearing a white tuxedo and I'm trying to move away from the aisle, but I don't know where my place is. You are chatting to a group of people and laughing, and for a moment I catch your eye. You look at me and smile my favorite smile and go back to your friends, and I consider walking to the groom's spot before he gets there. Three. In this one, I'm sitting on my bed with a book of poems I opened when you were still sleeping. Now you're on top of my desk, trying to smoke outside the high window, sipping coffee and looking at the sunbathed trees as I read poems to you. I read you the one where Carver is imagining Bukowski talking to him. Then I read the one you showed me where Bukowski talks about real love in Athens, and I know what he's talking about. You say I'm the one you never wanted to hurt, and I spent the last 4 years thinking I was the only one you could. Four. In this one, we're still there, you smoking out the window and me reading to you from the bed. You say, read me a spy novel, poetry is for the broken, and I can't tell you then that I am broken. So I tell you that I need love more than I need forgiveness. I tell you that I have always forgiven you, but not our killers, and I am one of the killers who will not be forgiven. You exhale a lungful of smoke, staring at the horizon, and say, don't worry about it, it's in the past. And I can't tell you then that that's exactly why I worry about it. Five. In this one, you're pulling me into a photograph. You're in your yellow dress in the middle of a group of people I don't know, smiling your camera smile to the man trying to get you all into frame. I'm standing a few feet from him, smiling at the sight of you, more reluctant than you to show my teeth. Now, in a moment, you stop everyone like only you can and rush over to me, clutching your purse, and take me by the hand to drag me into frame. I resist a little, like I always do, claiming shyness and superiority. But the truth is that I never love you more than when you're pushing and pulling me, when you drag me into your life, where no one knows me but you. Seven. In this one, I'm standing in front of an open window in the kitchen of an apartment in what could be New York. The coffee is steaming in the hang-in-there mug on the windowsill, and I'm looking at the intersection outside. The traffic lights are broken. Cabs and bikes maneuver around, hurrying pedestrians on their phones, and you've got your day off. You come up behind me, put your arms around my ribcage, and the tips of your fingers are bristles on the scar running through my chest. I can feel your warmth on my naked body, on my naked back, through my shirt that you're wearing. Can feel your hair on my shoulders, your heart thumping. I tell you that we're not going to make it, and you say that we're used to that. You say, you're easier to hug now. But I know that what you mean is that I'm too skinny. I say that we never had much time, and that we acted like we didn't know. You say you will be mad at me if I die before I'm 93. You say, if you die now, I'm going to haunt you. I say that's not how it works. And you say, if you die now, I will haunt you so hard you're going to wish you were alive. Thank you.
This is called the wooden ladder. My grandfather was a carpenter. Sometimes he made toys for me out of odds and ends of wood from the firebox. Once he made me a ladder for my dolls. It had three rungs, rigid and rounded, and I imagined it was cut out from a fancy staircase. Its two stringers, the length of my arm, the length of his hand, were parallel. I checked. I learned that word. It means they're standing right beside each other, but even if they go on forever in a straight line, they will never touch. My doll's feet didn't need to touch the rungs for them to leap up the ladder, propped up against a shoebox in my playroom. They were steady in my hands, like the saw in his when he left his mark in the wood.
Thanks, Niamh. Next up is Patricia Walsh.
It's called Reasonable Pieces. Voting yourself out of existence. Heating through arguments, saying the worst. Loving the end point, discussing yours. Far off menials, avoidance the scenario. A slam down phone, slipping past sarcasm. Impoverish your fault, knowing when to get out. A license to be massacred at will. This cold blanket socialized at detriment. I don't care if you're lonely, sleeping otherwise. You make your own luck, imperative in this day. Pockmarked out, making a statement. Overnight ice hunting over detrimental love. Politely asked to move on, groups allowing. The primal horde, after all, drinking coffee. Spewing poison over relaxation, handheld practice. Not to worry, handheld over earshot. Overhearing laughter that is pure in one's own. Overdressed in sunlight, lying on the lawn. Taunting the tainted soul over history. Specifics untold, scarred for a time forever. Passing exams, succeeding through this vortex. Private altercations spell exclusion from a locality. Some skin separates a grim revenge. Flaring soul intending death. Stick with now. Promised suicide revenges the excavation. Thanks.
Thanks, Patricia. Next up is Seamus Harrington.
We are not getting any younger. That's the name of the website. There's a lot of photographs of walking through stubble fields in France at a poetry festival in St. Clementine a number of years ago. We have to talk about that. And the fabulous weekend there. Eleanor mentioned throwing a calf in the lake. Someday. That's illegal to bury a body at sea now, whether it is a human or an animal. So, a few weeks ago, I had the great honour of being invited to attend a ceremony where our neighbour, sea captain, passed away not too long back, and his wife died within 3 weeks of a broken heart. So, we sailed out to Roach's Point. And both ashes were mixed into one urn and we scattered them out of the harbour. And it was the same man called me some years ago, quickly come out to see the new International Space Station. And we waited and we waited and we watched. And this is about that event. Before that, by the way, in the late 50s, I was one of the very few who saw the first Sputnik, was the name. International Space Station. Nothing new to the naked eye, not even an air balloon. While in vain we scan the sky, our ISS is overdue. The pride of 16 nations, perhaps a swift detour, sent you above your station, our ISS is overdue. That tilted plough rarely stirs a sock inside the Milky Way. A fiery end met aged mirror, our ISS is overdue. Send another email message, what is your ETA? You've the solar rite of passage, our ISS is overdue. Did you swing by a lunar pole or on a helpless spin, tumble into a deep black hole, our ISS is overdue? No, wait. I always knew. Out of the west-northwest, bang on time, our ISS is over you. Just one more short one. Part two. The only distant specks to spot up there, occulting stars that were light years away. An absent moon sent word by flicker ray, don't get too near to my ionosphere. Of course, she's not about to make a rare appearance cause it's past her ETA. When waypoints wink inside the Milky Way, will space and Earth another billionaire? Research and pride of 16 states gone west. Perhaps we'll have to chart a new black hole, commemorate the astronauts deceased. But wait, haha, of course, I should have guessed. Our compass is inclined towards hyperbole. They're over here and nowhere near the west. And the spacecraft landed on Mars this evening. It took 7 minutes for the message to come back.
Thanks, Seamus. Next up is Robert
Burton. Hey! How's it going? This is a poem by Robert Burns. He scratched it into the window of a pub in Selkirk with his diamond ring. It's called A Selkirk Grace. Some he meet and can he eat, some would eat that want it, but we he meet and we can eat and say the Lord be thanking.
Thanks, Rob. Next up is Kieran McCartan.
How's it going? We just put out a lot of A4 posters of the crossover which is happening on Wednesday. If you're around, this is an event happening in Dali on Wednesday. And excuse the framing of the poster. It was a great difficulty in the print shop.
Yeah, well, this doesn't do it.
Yeah.
But if you are around, yeah, there's a performance art event that's happening in Dali on Wednesday night, 8:30. And like a lot of OVM contributors are going to contribute to the event.
Where is that?
The old pal.
Katie Quinn.
Who's in?
Sean is going to be there. Ben's going to be there. Phil's going to be there.
Give me lots of people there.
Anyway, outside of that, this is a poem called Out Walking in the Rain. I fall in love like Easy Street. Like pennies in a pond, past assumption, past the meet and greet that we've gone far beyond. All four, the smile and dimpled cheeks of which I've become so fond. The outpost of your energies reflected in a yawn. And I'm all yellow turquoise, aquamarine and pink. If I ever see those words again, I'll see them in the sink. Throwing pelt at pressed ceramic, bile, stomach acid and stink. Another reflex action to block the words I think. And I'm all smiles in the daytime and eyes all full of glint. And the sharpness of my tongue all fire lighting flint. Eyes full of intention, twitch my shoulders only hint. Awkward as two trees in a car park, surrounded by no cars, just white paint between the tar and scar marks, showing just how far apart. two cares are to be from each other, with no one at the wheel, the lights left on like the fleeting chance and passing glance I steal. Nighttime's all revealing what day does well to conceal. If I could find the heat, I'd cook myself to offer you a meal. Lightning doesn't strike twice, it'll never be the same. The first time's always magic, and the rest is always pain. I said, who and what is always, and where did they achieve their fame? And tell me, where's the honor in having the numbness to abstain? You're an electric shower, and I've been out walking in the rain.
Thanks, Ciarán, and thanks for closing the open mic for this evening. Thanks, everybody, for the five words contributions, and congratulations to Barbara. If we could give a very warm thanks to Eleanor for her beautiful reading.
Yeah.